Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are gathered here this evening to honor our missionary heritage with stories of missionaries past and present, some of whom have already been gathered up to glory to receive reward for their lives they led in service to the glorious gospel. The psalmist said, "I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Tonight, we remember. We remember William Carey, the father of modern missions, who defied the prevailing hyper-Calvinist beliefs in the church and preached his famous deathless sermon, in which he exhorted believers to reach out to the lost all over the world, saying,
"Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God."
Speaking of missions work, Carey said,
"His work, not mine or yours. But we are his, and one with him whose work it is."
He died in 1834 in Serampore, India, having served as a missionary there for over 40 years. We remember a contemporary of William Carey, an American named Adoniram Judson, who at the age of 25 set off to be a missionary to Burma with the conviction that
"the future is as bright as the promises of God."
Judson learned to speak the Burmese language and then translated the Bible so that he could reach the Buddhists of Burma. He suffered for 19 months in a Burmese prison, lost two wives, and was hindered by pulmonary illness in his last years of ministry. But despite all these setbacks, he said,
"In joy or sorrow, health or pain, our course is onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain. We reap on Zion's hill."
He died in 1850 aboard ship in the Bay of Bengal, leaving his translated Bible, 100 churches, and over 8,000 converts as his legacy. We remember David Livingstone, who, having heard Dr. Robert Moffat speak of the smoke of a thousand villages where the gospel had never been preached, was inspired to become a missionary to the people of Africa. Despite being attacked by a lion and losing the use of his left arm, Livingstone was undaunted in his mission to spread the gospel in Central Africa and said,
"I am prepared to go anywhere, provided it be forward."
Livingstone devoted his life to exploring, abolishing slavery, and establishing Christian missions. After going missing for 6 years, the explorer Henry Stanley found him weakened by illness, living in a small village on the shores of Lake Tanganyika. 5 days later, Livingstone reaffirmed his commitment to Christ, writing in his diary,
"My Jesus, my life, my King, my all."
In 1873, David Livingstone was found kneeling by his bedside, having died in prayer. His loyal African friends buried his heart under a nearby tree and carried his body 1,500 miles to Zanzibar, where it was shipped back to Britain for burial in Westminster Abbey. We remember Hudson Taylor, who decided at the age of 17 to devote his life to missions for work in China. He studied languages and medicine in preparation for his life's work. Once in China, He adopted the Chinese hairstyle of pigtail with shaven forehead and wore native clothes to gain acceptance among the people to whom he ministered. Expressing his love for the work of the gospel, he said,
"If I had 1,000 pounds, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior?"
Taylor served in China for over 50 years, brought over 800 missionaries to that country, established 125 schools, and converted over 18,000 Chinese to Christianity. His success can be attributed to his reliance upon Christ, of whom he wrote,
"Bear not a single care thyself, for one is too much for thee. The work is mine and mine alone, your work to rest in me."
Hudson Taylor died on his 11th missionary journey to China in 1905 at the age of 73. Finally, we remember a young man who died at the age of 25 before he ever reached his mission field. He was the son of a multimillionaire who received a burden for the lost when he traveled around the world after graduating from high school. When his friend told him he was throwing away his life to become a missionary, this young man wrote two words in the back of his Bible:
"No reserves."
He attended Yale University, where he organized prayer groups and Bible studies that included 1,000 of the school's 1,300 students. He founded the Yale Hope Mission to reach out to the drunks and the homeless living on the streets, and presided over a student missionary conference at the university. During his time in school, he narrowed his missionary call to the Muslim Kanzu people of China. When he was offered high-paying jobs after graduation, he turned them all down and wrote two more words in the back of his Bible:
"No retreats."
After finishing graduate studies, this young missionary set sail for China, stopping in Egypt to learn Arabic to help in his work with Muslims. He contracted spinal meningitis and died within a month. Before he died, he penned two more words in the back of his Bible:
"No regrets."
This extraordinary young man was buried in Cairo, Egypt, in April 1913. His name was William Borden. And this is his Bible: "He was my son, and I was proud to have known him. No reserves, no retreats, and no regrets."
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tongue, every tribe, every nation, born of the heart of a faithful choir. But all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. Let it arise above the four winds, high above the heavenly Lord. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals, faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from before creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none are more. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they just heard. All the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. But all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns. Children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah,
He reigns. Our missionaries from North America and the Caribbean.
And all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns.
We have Alaska. Our missionaries from North America and the Caribbean, Alaska and Connecticut. We have Florida. Illinois. Indiana. Kentucky, Louisiana, the state of Maine, we have Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, we have Ohio, Pennsylvania, And y'all, we got Tennessee. And Virginia. In North America, we have Canada. Latin America and the Caribbean. Argentina. Brazil. Chile. Ecuador. Haiti. Jamaica. Mexico. And brand new this year, Puerto Rico. Welcome our churches from Asia. Also brand new this year, Borneo. China. India. Israel and Kazakhstan. Nepal, the Philippines, South Korea, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Thailand. Our churches from Western Europe. Uh-oh. Austria. representatives from Africa. We have Benin and Burkina Faso. Burundi. Democratic Republic of Congo. Ghana. Ivory Coast. Kenya. Liberia. Morocco. Mozambique. Rwanda. Somalia. South Africa. The Sudan. Swaziland. Tanzania. Togo. Uganda. And Zambia. Our representatives from Eastern Europe. Albania and Azerbaijan. Bulgaria. Croatia. Czech Republic. Lithuania. Moldova and Poland. Romania. Russia. Tajikistan. Turkmenistan. Turkey. Missionaries from all around the world representing Greater Grace World Outreach.
All the powers of darkness trembled at what they just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't hold back God's word. All God's children sing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. All God's children sing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all God's children singing glory.
I don't have a mic. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there is one country that this ministry has been in represented in the last 23 years. This country is now without a Greater Grace representative. That country is the country of Australia. This past year, our beloved friend, Pastor Steve Finkelstein, went home to be with the Lord. We want to say thank you, Pastor Steve, for all your years of faithful service in this field of Australia.
Trusting kings and queens whose names we could recall. We put them high on pedestals. We watched them rise and fall. But I'll not trust in flesh and blood, mere men who cannot save. For when they die, their kingdoms lie there with them in the grave. But there is one from heaven's throne who died that I might live. What things I gain I now forsake, and lose that I might win. For the cause of Christ I will live my life. I will count my gains as losses that I might know him. I claim no greater prize than my faith in Christ. Treasures and trophies quickly pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. So I will be living my life only for the cause of Christ. It's not the vain accomplishments in my life that matter most. For even at my best, I am not worthy of his cross. For nothing can surpass the joy of knowing Christ as Lord. No wealth, nor fame, no earthly gains, for all this world abhors. For earthly things will pass away when all is said and done. gonna count my gains and losses that I might know him. I claim no greater prize than my faith in Christ. For treasures and trophies quickly pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. So I will be living my life only for the cause of Christ. I must forget the past and look to things ahead and press towards the highest call, enduring till the end. For the cause of Christ, I will live my life. I'm gonna count my gains and losses.
Okay, our first speaker tonight is a very special brother. He met Pastor Mati on a plane in the late 1980s, and he was an engineer and not a believer. But he and his family lived in Baku, Azerbaijan. And there's an interesting story. He was a university student in Siberia, and he won a scholarship to go to England to study English because he was the best student, or to be an interpreter for the Soviet army in Egypt. And he decided to take the job to be an interpreter in Egypt. And in Egypt, he collected a small library. And in his library, he got a Russian Bible. And when it was time to leave Egypt to go back to the Soviet Union, he had to get clearance for all of his books. And all of his books were approved except the Bible. He could not take the Bible back, because under communism, that was not allowed. Years later, when he met Pastor Mati on the plane, Pastor Mati said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "Could you get me a Bible?" He read it. He became a believer. He met us one summer in Sweden. He returned home on fire for God in Baku, Azerbaijan. Next summer, he and his family came to Hungary for a Bible college program, and he went back to Baku. He's been instrumental in planting the church in Baku. He then moved with his family to Turkmenistan, planted the church in Turkmenistan. Then he went to Kyrgyzstan. He planted a church in Kyrgyzstan. And then he moved to Moscow, where he is now as the pastor in planting a church there. So would you welcome a really awesome servant of God, Pastor Gromov.
Thank you very much. This is a great privilege for me to be in such a great family of God. And we are children of God. You know, when we had all these teams coming through this stage and declaring the Word of God, thinking with God, just think for several seconds about the person who brought you to Christ and thank him in your memory. That is very important. That is very important. The church is very important. I'm blessed with the life of this Greater Grace Church. I'm blessed with Pastor Matze and his life. And he showed to his pastor, Pastor Schaller. And Pastor Schaller introduced me to Pastor Stevens, I think it was in Prague at that time, Czechoslovakia. And I met the great family. And when I think about this great family, I want to tell you all, thank you very much for thinking with God, for going and walking with God. And because of the love of God that you show everywhere in the world, we are here. I am standing here, new creation. New person. Jesus said in John 15, I am a vine, the vine, and you are branches. And he said about the fruit that we would bear. In the book of Numbers 13, there were 12 spies. And they went to the promised land to see how the land was. What was the fruit there? How fruitful, how was the land? And they went there and they saw it was abundant. God was faithful and he was calling them to that land. And they cut the cluster of grapes. And two persons were carrying that one cluster through all the way back. And I just was meditating on that. Two persons, and they were looking at this cluster and they were saying, oh God, how good you are. God, thank you. You are so fruitful. This is the testimony of your fruitfulness, of your faithfulness, of your love to our people. Thank you, Lord. Maybe they were the other spies, and they were looking for the people who were living there, and they were more and more convinced that these people were giants. But these two were carrying the cluster, and maybe one would take one grape and eat it and would say, oh God, I want to praise you. I want to praise you. When I think about that, and the Church of Greater Grace all over the world, we are carrying the heavenly cluster everywhere. And we are the testimony. Jesus said in the book of Acts 1:8, he said, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the world. when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, and now we are kind of celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Greater Grace Church. In the book of Acts 20:24, there are three beautiful sentences with the word solemn testimony, or testifying solemnly. What is it? The Greek word there is dia martureomai. This is with the Russian accent. And the meaning of that, it is not only testifying, but it is testifying repeatedly, repeatedly. We never go back. We teach, we preach, we come. I remember the time in Baku, and we were working in one of the institutions, and there was a group of people working together with us, and all the time during the breaks I would be witnessing to them. And a week later, one guy came to me and he said, "You know, you are a bad man." Wow. I never heard about that. I would think that he would say, "Oh, you're a good man." He said, "You are a bad man." I asked him, "Why?" And he said, "Before you started to speak about Jesus Christ, my life was okay." You know, I had bread. I had lots of things to look at. I was actually irresponsible in my life. But you made me responsible. I thought that, okay, there will be time and I will do good things. But now I see it is my responsibility to respond to the word of Jesus Christ. You made me responsible. And he received Jesus Christ. It is, you know, the repeated testimony, and the testimony starts with the book of Acts 20:23, the testimony of the Holy Spirit to us. And we take that testimony and it changes our life. It brings the Word of God. It brings us to the Holy Spirit, brings us to the places where we are fed with the Word of God. And we see how people around us, they carry that beautiful, holy cluster. Pastor Stevens, Pastor Shiloh, Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Marty, all the pastors in our church, everywhere, in every republic that we saw, everybody is walking with that cluster and singing with joy. And all the time, bzz, bzz, bzz. But there is another sound also. Do you remember that there were 10 more spies? They were not bzz, bzz, but they were shh, shh, shh. Stop it! Stop it! I remember when we came to Kyrgyzstan, and there, right away, somebody told to us at the religious department, "We don't need you, you have to go back." Oh yeah, I understood, that is the world, it's okay. We came with Pastor Magnus to one of the churches, and we introduced ourselves that we were the ministers of the Greater Grace and we want to plant the church here. And the pastor of that church said, "Who needs you?" But we took our cluster and we marched there. And now it is Pastor Emil and all the elders of the church in Bishkek, together with all the crowd of our believers. They are carrying the holy cluster everywhere in Kyrgyzstan, beyond Kyrgyzstan, to Kazakhstan. Pastor Pamir is pastoring the church there. And it is everywhere. We look at what is happening here, and we come to the people and say, "Would you like to have this grape?" "Yes, there is more." "Where?" "Here, in Kazakhstan, everywhere, in China, everywhere." Are you in that country? Yes. Somebody would be calling, are you there? Do you have the church there? Yes, we have the church there. Yeah. The first testimony is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The second, it is through us by the Holy Spirit to the people about the salvation. And that is verse 21, the book of Acts 20:21. It is about the salvation, the finished work, that a person should receive that. And then we testify repeatedly, many times, in many ways, differently, using all the things available, you know, sky, earth, everything, but mostly the Bible, the Word of God. And it is we testify to the people of the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. Would you like to have a grape? Yes. Yes. Do it. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Stevens, Pastor Schaller, and carrying that cluster, holy cluster. Thank you, Pastor Shibeli, Pastor Marty, all the pastors and the congregation. Love you so much. God bless you.
Seen the rising sun awakening the early dawn, and it's rising up to give you praise. Lord, we have seen the stars and moon, see how they shine for you, and you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song. And we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our lives. We will shine like stars in the universe, holding out your truth to this darkest place. We'll be living for your glory. Cry, and we're giving you our lives. We will shine like stars in the universe, holding out your truth in the darkest place. We'll be living for your glory. Jesus will be living for your glory. Sending light for all to see. Let your holy church arise, exploding into light like a beacon in the night. Set your holy church on fire. Like the sun so radiantly, sending light for all to see. Let your holy church arise. rise up with a song, and we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our life. Jesus, we will shine.
Hello, my name is Pastor Mark Goody, and very privileged to just say a few words tonight about our voyage to Borneo. I'm deeply privileged to be taking my family to the world's fourth largest island, the island of Borneo, which is in maritime Southeast Asia. We're actually going to the state of Sarawak, which is part of eastern Malaysia, to an amazing place, very tropical. We're going to a place which is very mixed people, predominantly indigenous tribe people, Malay also, many Chinese as well. And we're just so excited to see what God will do. We will take the finished work message to into the villages, the kampungs, and also to try and establish a Greater Grace Church in the city. As well as going to the, hopefully into the interior, where there are 48,000 longhouses, bamboo houses, where this simple tribal people live. So we're just really excited to be going and to have you with us and praying for us, hopefully. So just for prayer, maybe just if you would pray for that transition, for our health, for wisdom, because we are going to an Islamic country, but mostly for fruit and just to really see the gospel of the grace of God have an effect in Southeast Asia, in maritime Southeast Asia, on the island of Borneo. So just thank you that we can be part of this, and God bless you. That's great.
My name is Pastor Gary Thornton, and my wife and I, Lisette, and Pastor Julian Matthew and his family will be going to San Juan, Puerto Rico this September, and that'll be a new work. We're excited about that. Over the last year and a half, we've had about five harvest trips to Puerto Rico. It's a Spanish island, fourth largest island in the Caribbean. Very white harvest field. And out of those five trips, we've had close to 200 contacts and disciples, some disciples on both sides of the island. Some of those disciples, by the way, came from still there, fruit from Pastor Dan Foster's ministry 25 years ago. Still connected to the church. Still connected. So we're just really excited about this work as we go again in September. Again, it's Spanish, Latin, and we're going to be going there in September. And so please pray for this new beginning, new work, as we go with this great message we have. And we go and just covet that from you. So thank you, and keep praying for us.
Merhaba. My name is Pastor Matti Sirviö. I'm pastoring a Greater Grace Church in Istanbul, Turkey. And after living almost a year in Turkey, I have learned at least one thing. And I have learned and understood that at this time of my life, God has chosen to love me in Turkey. And it would be really a big mistake for me to be in any other place. And a real tragedy, actually. Someone has said that the tragedy in life is not the things that we suffer, but the things that we miss. And I see that God has given us great privilege to be in Turkey today. It's a nation of 70 million people, great nation, and very ignorant of the gospel. And definitely very ignorant of grace and the finished work of Christ. I was listening one day to one of our Turkish believers in our church witness to another person in our church, and he said, they found me in the park, and I didn't know that Jesus is God. And they told me, why didn't anyone tell me earlier? Now I know. And he was like so confident. Now I know, everything's all right. And it was a great testimony for me to hear that, because I understood that we really are called to a nation that doesn't know. And thank you all for loving the Turkish nation, and I'm very proud and honored to be representing them here tonight. Amen.
Hey, my name is Pastor Brian Coelho, and I'm in Bangalore, India. We have a group of Indians right here with Pastor Carl and Susie, and we have a 23-year-old ministry. It's a rich heritage that we have in India as a nation, and you can travel 15 hours and you're in the same state. People like tell me how many countries I visited, and I name each state. But it's amazing to see that in the country of India there is fruit that remains. There have been a number of us that have come to Bible school and gone back to our countries, and to see that it's not just about receiving an education, it's about the impartation of a life that has been lived. And to have the word without that life would be impossible for us. And as a pastor in Bangalore, I think God has given us a vision to be instrumental in church planting as a ministry, because we have many, many Christian organizations, but we don't have an organism in that sense with life. And I'm thankful for the leadership here and the constant vision of pushing us forward. I'm thankful for that. And we have the vision to go up the Deccan Plateau. I don't know if you know what that means, but we're trying to go up to the extreme end, and that is where Calcutta and West Bengal is. So pray that, you know, that we would be faithful and we would be persevering in the call of God. Thank you.
My name is Pastor Morrison. I represent... I've been asked to represent the 45 churches in the United States of America. And these churches are very important because and this country is very important. This is the country of our home base, Baltimore, Maryland, and the wonderful church, Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in this very place. In these 45 churches, we have a great unity like never before, and we thank God for that. We also have, out of that those 45 churches, 10 have been newly planted in the last 2 years. And what that means is that between now and our next convention, a year from now, I think we're going to see a tremendous growth in those 10 churches in Maine and in Connecticut, and in the Midwest, and in the Mid-Atlantic states, and right here in Maryland, as well as new churches planted. I was thinking of Texas. Yeah, I was thinking of Texas and Florida, the Southeast, and the West Coast. Where can God take us in this year, right here in the United States?
My name is Pastor Juha Haatanen. I'm from Finland, Helsinki. As a Finnish churches, we had privilege to go to Africa, Kenya, and help the church start there. And we have been there like 3 times, different spring times. April's, and first our trip was there, like visiting different churches, and we had one contact there. And then second time when we went there, we had a Bible school, about 30 people. And this spring, when we were there, we had more than 100 students in our intensive Bible school. And it's so great to see the hunger and thirst what the Africans, especially in Kenya, people have for the finished work and get to know the word very well. Now, if God wills, Pastor David Kisame from Uganda, Kampala, is moving this coming year to Kenya and start a Greater Grace Church there. We as a Finnish church, we want to support him and pray, and every way what we can support, we will support them and also visit there this coming year and support Pastor David and the work there. So it's really a great privilege to us to be there and help African church.
$2.5 million people. Guess where we are from? That's right. My wife and I and our 5-year-old, we live in northwest China, a country that used to be told that it's very closed. But I'm here to announce first time openly that the country is open. So, praise God, we are really blessed to be there and sent by this ministry. We have a group of people with us. One of them actually just emailed us saying, "Can I be a priest?" And I'm waiting to go back and say that yes. Yes, why not? Please pray for China. Come to China. Let's see great things happening there. And we look for team members. We are certainly looking forward for team members. We would like you to visit us as well as look for some opportunities to be with us through the year in your prayers and in anything the way you are saying how to be with us. We love you and thank you for being a great church and great supporting church, especially the work in China. Thank you.
Okay, would you stand with me and open your Bible? Stand with me and open your Bible to Luke chapter 19. What a grace night, isn't it? We will be doing an Olympic trip next summer to Beijing and to see people run and jump for the gospel. For the gospel. What a great night. Let's give a hand to all those people that participated in putting this together. Pastor Duane, the missions office. It's really something. Okay. Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, speaking to Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Father, thank you today. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this house. Thank you that the Son of Man came, his purpose to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the message of the gospel. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, the church. Thank you for the authority that comes from above. thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit within. Thank you for the beautiful feet that bring glad tidings of good news. Thank you for the prayers to the throne of grace, where we have an answer from God. Thank you for the Word of God, which speaks to people and transforms lives. Thank you for the provision that comes from the church for missions. Amazing giving of people from their hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Just lift your hands to Him and just thank Him tonight. Thank you, God, for He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. Father, now bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If it's possible, you could dim a couple of those lights so I can see what's going on here. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Okay. Didn't you love the first part of the service when they talked about those men and they spoke? And really, that's incredible, isn't it? Those men of God and these fathers and missions. And really, what that was so touching to me about these men. And really, they were men like you and I, individuals. Someone said that two of the greatest men that ever were involved in reaching lost souls had something to do with feet. And that William Carey was a cobbler and D.L. Moody sold shoes. And that these simple men, really very much, as far as Moody was concerned, uneducated, but being available to God. And I've been thinking just a lot lately about God's purpose. It says He came to seek. And that word means He would seek with His entire heart. It was His heart, His plan, His purpose, with His ability to see lives transformed. He was not interested in just coming to see something or do something that maybe the natural man or even the carnal Christian would think was important. But His entire objective and purpose in coming, becoming the God-man, was to seek and save that which is lost. And every one of us in this room has become an objective of Jesus Christ as He ministered, loved us, gave us the gospel. And really, it's so incredible because you think out there as you go to the city of Baltimore, and isn't it amazing how many churches there are in America and what's really happening? Do you know that this ministry, blessed by God and God alone, has gone from 287 churches 2 years ago to 401 in 2 years? And really, give yourselves a hand. And it's the ministry. God is using the ministry. And I just have such an expectation. But when you go out to different places and countries, and I've been to a number of countries, maybe over 110 countries that I've traveled to, you recognize something that is really so important for a believer and the church to recognize, that people, no matter what they look like, no matter what's going on in their life, they are all alone. They are all alone. David said in Psalm 142, verses 3 and 4, that no man cares for my soul. No man cares for my soul. And I love Psalm 8. And we think, when we are meditating about thinking with God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you even think about man. And really, this word in the Hebrew means you are over and over rehearsing in your mind, man. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you would visit him. And this word for visit means you would visit with a loving care. A loving care. Your visit to man is not just something that's going to take place by you coming, but you have a loving care for man. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you would visit him? And I think about people, and it doesn't make any difference what sphere of life they are in. whether they're educated or illiterate, whether they have money or they live in poverty, whether they're from India or China, whether it's a village or a crowded city, whether they're married or single, whether they've had tragedy in their life or they've had a successful life, they're deep down within their lives, outside of Christ. Not only are they without hope, but they are all alone. And no matter what they come across like, and no matter what they portray in their relationships with people, that they are all alone. They are all alone. And I think if I would consider this more often in my life, that and what people are like inwardly, not looking at the external, when we approach a person or God gives us a leading to speak to somebody about their eternal destiny, that deep down in their lives, they are absolutely all alone. And I can imagine what Abraham must have felt like in the Ur of the Chaldeans, all alone. I can imagine in my mind what it was like for all these people in Nineveh that Jonah would preach to, and each and every one of them going through this incredible loneliness within their life. Because even the more you have, the less it gives you peace, joy, and contentment, the more alone you are. And you lie down on your bed at night, and maybe there's these places that nobody sees what's going on, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, I know because this happened in my life, and they're just all alone. They're all alone. They are void of life. They are void of joy. They are void of peace. And yet, the message we have is the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you would visit him. There was a man that once wrote, I think it was Praying Hyde, and this is what he said one time as he woke up from a dream. And in the dream, God said, it was just this cry from his heart, oh, I seem to see them crying as their lives sink into the grave. We are dying, we are dying. Is there none to help and save? And this cry would come out. He would hear this cry from the voices of the nations and the heathens. And we look at Revelation 7:9 and we see a great multitude in heaven from every kindred, every tribe, every people, every nation. A great multitude there. At one time, absolutely lonely and without God. People out there are all alone. They're all alone. I don't care what kind of group they're in. You've been to places. You've seen crowds of people, football games, sporting events, all kinds of things. You see streets and malls and places where people are just moving. And there's many people, some with smiles on their faces, some without. Deep down, without Christ and without God, they are so lonely. They are all alone. They are all alone. And really, this is why we have such a great opportunity to bring the gospel. Because we're bringing to them one who will never leave them nor forsake them. One who will never leave them alone. And we have the answer for their lives. We have the message for their lives. And this is incredible. They're all alone. And oh, does that break the heart? Oh God, you know, I pray one of the things that would never happen in my life, Holy Spirit, always produce in me a love for Jesus Christ and a love for the lost. Why? Because they're all alone. And you know what I find out in my life? When I am not participating in what God's purposes and what God's plan is to reach the lost and make disciples, then I find myself all alone. Even though I'm saved, I'm all alone. Something's going on because I'm not fellowshipping with the plan of God. All alone. All alone. They're all alone. The multitudes in Bombay. The millions of people. The millions of people in China. New York City, where within a 1 hour radius, as you circle around, 30 million people exist. Can you imagine that? 30 million people. And you know what they are? They're all alone. They're all alone. They're all alone. And what a great opportunity we have. And you know what? They're all alone. And all they need to do is look to He alone. He alone. He alone. He alone. God became... Imagine, just say this in your mind. Say this with your mouth right now, even if you close your eyes. God became a man. I mean, do I even understand that? God became a man. God became a man. God became a man. He alone. He alone. When I think of some of those men, you know, I've been reading a lot about D.L. Moody. Do you know that D.L. Moody and Moody Bible Institute had 5,400 graduates that went to 108 countries? You know what they were looking to? He alone. He alone. Hudson Taylor evangelized all of China. 800 missionaries had a direct relationship to him, and 6,000 came out from those 800. Are you listening? What do you think Hudson Taylor was doing? He was looking to what? He alone. Where? He alone. Hudson Taylor looked to he alone. William Carey, 40 years in India, the father of missions, they say that from his life, the Bible was translated into 40 languages. And you know, he was there, and there was a lot of suffering and a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties and a lot of resistance. But you know what kept him? He was looking to he alone. He alone. They're all alone and they need he alone. Sometimes we think they need so many other things. So many of the exteriors of Christianity, so many of the externals of Christianity, what a person simply needs that is all alone is he alone. And it doesn't matter where they are, what they're doing, what they're all about with their life, they're all alone, and it's only he alone that can make a difference. Do you know that Moody's life actually was involved in the salvation of C.T. Studd and his brother, and then John R. Mott, who was head of the student volunteer mission and movement? I mean, the man's life traveled so far. Why? Because he looked to he alone. I remember a story when he was preaching in Oxford University, and they mocked him in the newspapers. They were mocking him. Here comes this guy from America. He's got like a first grade English. He speaks in slang. He makes no sense. This is ridiculous. And he goes into the hall, and there's 1,000 people in this university, and they're mocking and laughing and jeering and joking while he's preaching. He's preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden, the power of God came into that place in Oxford University, and he said, is there one who will stand up for Christ? One man stood up and said, Jesus. And before you know it, the power of the Holy Spirit came in, and every single person was converted in that place. 1,000 people born again. And D.L. Moody, in his life of 40 years, won 2,000 people a month. 1 million souls were brought to Christ without media, without radio, with simply preaching the gospel and speaking about he alone. He alone. He alone. Don't look at yourself. Look at yourself. I look at myself, I get lonely. I look at myself, I go, oh my God. And God says, exactly right. You need your God. You need God. That's what happens. And we look to he alone. To he alone. Borden looked to he alone. Carey looked to he alone. Livingstone looked to he alone. As he gave his life for the souls of the lost and dying world in Africa. He alone. Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how easy it is for Christianity and churches and even missions and outreaches to somehow come slightly and then gradually, and then before you know it, they're so far out and away from he alone. From him alone. That's why he's called the only begotten. He's the one, the only one, the unique one, the eternal one. It is he alone that will make a difference in people's lives. It is he alone who will give them a purpose. It is he alone that will give them joy. It is he alone who will bring in contentment. It is he alone who will bring in peace. It is he alone that will be faithful. It is he alone that will give an eternal purpose and a call. It is he alone who will give people life. It is, say it, he alone. He alone. He alone. It's of him and through him and to him be the glory. If it's of me and through me, then the glory's to me. But if it's of him and through him, the glory goes to him. Doesn't say looking unto me, the author and finisher of the faith. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. And for me to live
is me? No. For me to live is Christ. He alone. He alone. And they saw Jesus. We desire to come to this feast in John 12. We desire to see Jesus. Less talking about me. Less talking about the methods. Less talking about people. And more of a glory to God. To God be the glory. Because without me, John 15:5, you can do nothing. Nothing. And whatever you do, you're not doing it about me, but you are doing something. But there's no glory that goes to me. Just praise yourself on the back and pat yourself and say, good job, me. Well, he alone. He alone. What the greatest, one of the greatest messages in the Bible was simply this. Behold, the Lamb of God. I don't have anything to say. I have nothing to say. I just say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look this way. Don't look at me. I'm not going to last 9 months. My ministry's going quick. But I want you to look to Him. He alone. He alone on the Mount of Transfiguration. He alone at the tomb. He alone on the cross. He alone ascending into heaven. He alone at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ and Him alone. So many problems have happened in Christianity, even with born-again people, because somehow they and we have to be careful. We get away from the person of Christ, from the work that Christ has done. It's Jesus Christ and Him only. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why they had power. That's why they had authority. That's why they shook the world. That's why two men could evangelize the known world. That's why Moody could win 1 million souls, 2,000 a month, 25,000 a year, because he kept looking and fellowshipping with He alone. He alone. Look to me, you'll be disappointed. Look to me, you'll see a sinner. Look to me, who knows what can happen. But looking to Jesus Christ, looking to Him and Him alone, saved and called with a purpose to know Him. Paul said the greatest thing in my life is in Philippians 3:10, that in a progressive purpose clause that I might know Him. That's all that counts. God has reduced our lives to knowing Him. Fellowshipping with Him, loving Him, John 1:12, receiving Him, being changed in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 by Him. Oh boy, He alone, He alone, He alone. Somebody kept saying, hey, 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 my church, my church, my church, my church, my ministry, my church. I said, hey, could I ask you a question? I said, yeah. I said, when did you die on the cross? Just a small correction, that's all. I didn't know it was you whose blood was shed. I didn't know it was you who gave eternal life. I didn't know it was you who came to seek and save the lost. My church, my church, my church, my church, my church. Really? I thought He was the head. I guess since you are, maybe that's why nobody's responding. In the body. Since you are, that's happened so much. I've seen so much of this in Africa. What happened to Him alone? He alone. He alone. John saw in Revelation chapter 1. What did John see? He alone. He said, I'm a prisoner. I'm a Patmos surrounded. There's sharks in the water. There's madmen everywhere. I'm living in a cave. I'm 90 years old. And I'm abandoned. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to see He alone. And He's going to give you the book of Revelation. He alone will give you a revelation of Jesus Christ. He alone. He alone. You know what? When I am looking to He alone, I have incredible security. I have incredible purpose. I'm not so concerned about whether I please you or not. I'm just looking to Him alone. He alone. That's the kind of people we want to raise up, isn't it? People that are looking to Jesus Christ, have a relationship with God, a powerful relationship with God. They know Him. That doesn't mean they're going to be independent or strange or weird or unaccountable or not submitted. But if they're looking to He alone, they'll see one who submitted to His Father. They'll see one who submitted to the plan. They'll see one who is led by the Holy Spirit. They'll see one who is the head of the body, who loves the church. We are His people. Once again, He alone. They alone, they're all alone.
and they look to He alone. And we bring He alone. He alone. And number three, we together. We together are going to reach this world and do the part that God has given us in this world. We together. They alone. He alone. We together. We together. Our prayers together. Our churches together. The ministry together. Every single church and every single soul and every disciple and every grape and cluster that's out there. It's, we're all in this together. Amen? We're all in this together. The person who's praying for souls in Kyrgyzstan. The person who's praying for souls in China and South America and Canada and America. The person that's giving and they're there and here comes the offering. And they're saying, I'm going beyond my tithe because I love this. We together will make a difference. We together, we go together. It's not me, Mr. Only Lonely Missionary. It's not me out there having to face hordes of demons by myself. Are you kidding me? Who would want that? It's not me having nobody to write to, nobody to call, nobody to fellowship with, nobody to visit. It's we, what? Together. We together go into all the world. We together see churches raised up. We together see Bible schools and trained people wherever they are. We together have a purpose to reach this world, just like all these men and just like these great ministries. And there's so many of them around the world. They're alone. They're alone. And it's only He alone. He alone. But we together can show them He alone and remove, by the grace of God, that loneliness by the life of Jesus Christ coming into them because of this message we preach. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Just lift your hands to Him. Thank Him tonight. I want to do something a little different right now. If God has been speaking to you this year, this week, this night, and God has placed a desire, this is not some emotional response to a message, but God has placed a desire in your life to be trained in the Word, to go into all the world, whether it's this country, this state, this continent, other continents, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, you just stand up. You just have a desire. You don't even know how it's going to happen. You haven't got any idea at all. That's okay. That's okay. It's He alone you're looking to. Just you stand and say yes, yes to God. This is not a salvation call. This is a call to He alone. This is a call to we together. This is a call to go into all the world to minister to lonely people, those who are all alone. Oh, there's hundreds of people standing. Hundreds of people standing. Just lift your hands up. You pray your prayer to God right now. God, I want to follow You. Even as a Christian, I've been all alone. Because I have walked away from Your purpose. And nobody knows who or what. Nobody even is involved with trying to figure that out. But oh God, I want to meet You alone. In the depth of my heart. Oh Holy Spirit, fall on us in a way that touches our lives tonight. Raise up men and women, God, to be soul winners. To carry the gospel. Some of these people that we saw tonight, who were they but just simple men and women who just said, God, here am I. Here am I. God, call people tonight. Call people tonight. Minister to people tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank Him. Praise Him tonight. He alone. He alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He alone. Praise you, Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He who was and is to come. It's Him alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You see all these incredible people. Many who are not standing are resting in the plan of God in their local church. They are also used by God. Let's just everybody stand for a moment. Let's pray together that God would take us into a place that's exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could ask or think. How does God think? He'll take us beyond even our own thinking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you are here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's He alone. Just simply say this prayer. Jesus, I receive You as my personal Savior. Come into my life and save me tonight. Deliver me. Give me the Spirit of the living God. Change me, God. I believe in You and I receive You. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, that's your prayer. Just lift your hand up. Jesus, save me tonight. Save me, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you, God. He who began a good work in you. He was saying this to to the church, not a person. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. May I be available to let God perform in my life. He alone can do it. He alone can call me. He alone can equip me. He alone can train me in His Word through gifted men of God and pastors in a Bible school. He alone can be my provision. He alone is my protection. He alone will win the lost. He alone I testify of. He alone. He alone. And if we have a lot of He alones, then it's we together. We're all together. And we thank You tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Awesome night. Wow.
하나님 아버지 감사합니다. 한국 전체 사람들이 예수님 믿게 해주시고 전 세계 사람들이 예수님 믿게 해주세요. 예수님의 이름으로 기도합니다. 아멘.
We are all God's children. He knows us all by name. He hears our prayers in every tongue. He loves us all the same. We are all God's children. In every nation, every tribe, He calls us near to worship Him, standing by His side. Kenya to Afghanistan, from England to Ukraine, from India to Kazakhstan, from China and to Spain, the mission of the gospel must go to every land.
till Christ is lifted up. All his children take a stand. Yes, we're all God's children. He knows us all by name. He hears our prayers and every time he loves us all the same. Yes, we're all God's children. Every nation, every tribe, he calls us near to worship him, followed by his side. All are there from every tribe. Christ has come again. We'll gather there before his throne, sing praises to his name. And we will hear the Father's heart. We'll see him face to face. Red and yellow, black and white, united in that place. Yes, we're all God's children. There's a melody. He hears our prayers in every tongue. He loves us all the same.
Друзья, чтобы они, у них было хорошее здоровье. Во имя Иисуса. Аминь.
Great message, Pastor. Wow, that was a great, great message, wasn't that? And great night, and really. Is Pastor here? Is Dr. Stephens here? I can't see from here. Is he here? Oh, okay. No, okay. And just, we appreciate the work of Christ in our hearts, and what has happened through these years, it is such a privilege to see it and to bear witness, and what we heard, and moving forward, and to think that this year, what the Lord can do, and we can close with prayer right now. Would you pray with me? Father, we have heard a clear sound and have seen the testimony of your work tonight in many parts of the world. And our prayer is that you would lead us in fervent prayer, fervent living, fervent focus and fervent direction, that there would be more as we abide in the vine and you would bear much fruit, Lord, in our homes, our families, our work, our lives, our churches, our prayers, our Bible studies, our evangelism, our outreach, our love one for another. Oh God, you have done this. Oh Father, write in our hearts tonight something we have seen or heard, and may we carry it home and think about it and ask you, Lord, according to the measure that we measure, it will be given to us. And pour out even, Lord, beyond the room, but back home in the different countries, would you give a divine increase, raise up your servants and your people in the highways and byways, and lead us, Lord, in our prayer rooms, in our love, in our faith, in our work, in our activity, in our giving, for we are missionaries on the earth, every one of us. For your glory, God. Thank you, Lord, for what we have seen tonight. And bless this conference, writing it in our hearts. Oh, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is that it? Oh, I'm touched by this. Thank you, Pastor. That was amazing. And the body, and wow, it's so good. Today is Thursday, isn't it? How many more days? Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And you can stay longer if you want. Oh, wow, it's amazing. Okay, tomorrow will be a great day as well. All right, there will be a wrap, an activity, and maybe go off by yourself and think and pray and write it in your heart, something that you heard tonight. And this is awesome. Amen.
Our heart, our desire is to see the nations worship. Our cry, our prayer is to sing your praise to the ends of the earth, that with one mighty voice every tribe and tongue rejoices. Our hearts, our desires to see the nations worship you. Our hearts, our desires is to see the nations worship. Our cry, our prayer is to sing your praise to the ends of the earth, that will one mighty voice every tribe and tongue rejoices. Our heart, our desire is to see the nations worship you. Heavenly Father, your mercy showers down upon all people, every tribe and every. May your spear pierce the darkness, break the chains of death upon us. Let us rise in honest worship to declare your matchless word. Yeah.